Hey everyone, Scott here with a very short announcement. A couple of months ago, I let you know that James Early launched his own podcast, Key Battles of American History, and he was joining forces with History Unplugged for us to start our own podcast network. I'm very pleased to announce that another person has jumped on board. That is Steve Guerra, host of the History of the Papacy podcast. Steve has been on History Unplugged many times before. A few years ago, we talked about the legend of the female pope, Joan, who some claim that she reigned from 855 to 857 AD by disguising herself as a man, and the story is fictional, but many took it as fact in the Middle Ages, up to the point that a cathedral even has a bust of Joan among other pontiffs. Steve and I also did a mini-series called Hollywood Hates History, where we looked at some of the most historically inaccurate movies ever made, like the 1995 Demi Moore atrocity, The Scarlet Letter, The Conqueror, a Genghis Khan biopic starring John Wayne, in Kingdom of Heaven, the Orlando Bloom movie where he's basically Legolas the elf and he successfully creates universal harmony in the 12th century Middle East. Steve brings that same energy to History of the Papacy, where he details the biographies and interesting facts of the Papacy of Rome. He starts all the way in the beginning and looks at biographies of some of the most famous and infamous pontiffs and plenty of sidetracks along the way. So this is a great vehicle to look at one of the most important institutions in Western history. To celebrate Steve joining our network, we're doing a giveaway where the first five entrants win a 3-month subscription to the Great Courses Plus. If you don't know what it is, it's a streaming service that brings the world's greatest professors to millions who want to go deeper on subjects that interest them. There's tons of incredible history courses on this platform, but also things like foreign language, philosophy, cooking, and really anything you can imagine. You can stream any course you've purchased, toggle between audio and video versions of the lectures, and download your lectures to enjoy them later when you're not connected. There's more than 500 of these available. To enter the giveaway, go to historyofthepapacypodcast.com to see how to win. Again, that's historyofthepapacypodcast.com. This announcement is going out on Wednesday, May 26th, and you have till midnight on Friday, May 28th to enter. Again, go to historyofthepapacypodcast.com. Before I go, I'd like to leave you with a little snippet of his show, in case you haven't heard it yet. If you want to check out this and a lot more episodes, you can find History of the Papacy on the podcast player of your choice.
Thank you for listening to the History of the Papacy. I'm Steve, and we are a member of the Agora Podcast Network. We are on Facebook and Twitter, and you can find both by searching for A2Z History. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can always send me an email to my email address, steve@a2zhistorypage.com. We are back on Patreon, and you can go over to patreon.com/historyofthepapacy to find a great new way to support the podcast. I also love to see your ratings and reviews on iTunes. They really help me learn more about what you think about the show and what I can do to make it better. I'd also like to mention the Agora Podcast Network Podcaster of the Month, The Things That Made England by Roy Field Brown and David Crowther. This is a really fun show where the hosts debate whether certain ideas, concepts, or items are quintessentially English or not. You can learn more at agorapodcastnetwork.com. Now, today we delve into one of the most important parts of day-to-day religion. The liturgy or the mass is how people engage with their religion, especially in Christianity. We are going to look at the foundation of the Christian liturgy and one of the most important sources for early liturgical practices, the Travels of Etheria. We will also talk about this fascinating travelogue while we're here. Thank you for joining me on this journey. It's going to be a fun ride. This is going to be the 7th year of the podcast, The History of the Papacy, and I've completely skimmed over probably the most important, or at least the most practical part of Christianity and the church. All the ins and outs of theology, the history of the politics of the top-ranking bishops, the interaction between the church and state, and of course, the biographies of the popes of Rome are each more fascinating than the last. The fact is, though, most of the people sitting in the pews and who have sat in the pews for the past nearly 20 centuries have had minimal interest and certainly minimal impact on any of these events. The one thing that the common churchgoer does know a thing or two about is the liturgy. That is what they are most familiar with and how they engage most directly with the church. Whether it be called Mass, Liturgy, Divine Hours, or Worship Service, they all developed out of functions and ideas and foundations of the earliest church. We are going to look at how the liturgies of the church developed from earliest time to about the time of the so-called Dark Ages. We probably won't do this in one episode, but we'll do it over the course of a few episodes. The early Middle Ages was really the time where the liturgy settled in and took forms that are identifiable to this day. But let's see where they started. Now, Jewish liturgical practice is really the best place to start. The Jews had a highly defined liturgical practice. It was a temple-based worship. The temple in Jerusalem focused and was the focus of the most important liturgical functions of Judaism. Priests, or Kohanim, conducted burnt sacrifices of animals for the people. It's a very ancient worship style and connected to the Hebrew holy documents. There was just incredibly specific rules and regulations for how priests were to conduct this liturgical function. And it was a hands-off situation for the regular person. And they weren't even allowed in certain precincts, especially the most holiest places of the temple. Worship also revolved around a yearly cycle of religious holidays. It was based on a modified lunar calendar. This calendar had to constantly be adjusted and tinkered with to maintain accuracy. And a whole branch of science, really, was developed to make sure that this calendar was always in line with the times of the year that were so critical for their religion. Much time and research was invested in the calendar, and Christians will do this as well. The Jews had some big holidays. They still do have these holidays. Shavuot, Sukkot, or Tabernacles, also called Pentecost in Greek, Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, and also Pesach, or Passover, which was a very big deal, which was held in the Jewish month of Nisan, and which was a spring holiday. Now let's talk a little bit about the Law of Moses. These were very specific sets of guidelines for Jews to live by. We're always familiar with the kosher dietary laws, which are probably the most well-known, but there was many, many other rules of behavior that really governed almost every aspect of a person's life. There was also the synagogue. This was the teaching and learning place of the Jews. It's where the regular person had the most contact with the religion. This is also where the rabbis, the teachers, or the leaders worked and did their part of the religion, as opposed to the priests who were focused in the temple. Each of these functions had cognates in other religions and sects in the Mediterranean world. The uniqueness of Judaism was and is how all these functions were combined. It really made for a well-rounded experience for the Jewish observer, the Jewish participant in their religion. Now, this is where early Christianity comes into the story. We'll have some discussion of the liturgy in the Gospels. There was some. Temple worship was definitely mentioned. The financial and the more day-to-day aspects of temple worship were certainly discussed. This is where the flipping of the money changers' tables comes into play, where you're talking about the difference between the by the book and the lived experience of religion. In that little vignette in the Gospels, Jesus and his family went to Jerusalem to visit the temple when Jesus was a kid, and that's a big story. All of these and more places place Jesus in a completely second temple Jewish context. And if you've listened to any of the other episodes that I've done with Gary Stevens, or if you've listened to Gary Stevens' History in the Bible podcast, you'll know a lot about Second Temple Judaism. In the gospel, some of the essential elements of the liturgy were laid out. Liturgy really became central to Christian worship. You have the Sermon on the Mount, which is in the Gospel of Matthew, and then the Sermon on the Plain, which is in the Gospel of Luke. Both the Gospels of Luke and Matthew each give a description of Jesus performing a sort of proto-liturgy, if you will. If you want to read them yourself, you can go to the Gospel of Matthew, which is where this is detailed in chapters 5 and 6, and in the Gospel of Luke, it's in a good place to start is chapter 5, but then you skip forward a bit, and then chapter 11 has more. I'll quote a bit from the New King James Version, as I usually do from Bible Gateway, as we progress in this episode. You have the Our Father prayer, the Lord's Prayer, from both Matthew and Luke. They're a little different. Then you have, in these two chapters, includes anointing with oil, which is a big deal, parables, which will really be a big deal in liturgy, and the Beatitudes. A really big part of it is also the Eucharist, or the Last Supper, Passover liturgical meal. Each of the four canonical Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, have something about this Eucharist in or Last Supper in their narratives. Jesus says, "Eat this bread as my body and drink this wine as his blood in his memory." A bloodless or spiritual sacrifice of the Lamb, symbolically Jesus. This is in comparison to the Jewish physical sacrifice of animals, the Lamb being the primary one or the most important one on Passover. The Book of Acts and the Epistle of the Corinthians also has liturgical functions. Acts mentions breaking of bread. Corinthians says Eucharista, which is the Eucharist and the breaking of bread. We also have baptism mentioned in the Gospels. The major part of Christianity is the practice of baptism, which really goes back to the beginning. It's connected to Second Temple Jewish ritual bathing. In the early church, it usually happened in the time running up to the Easter or Passover time of the year, particularly either the week before or the very night before the Passover Easter celebration. It's always important when we talk about Easter. Easter is the word that became popular in English through the Anglo-Saxons and in German for the Passover. If you look at any other European language, it's usually some form based on Passover, Pesach. In almost any other Romance language or even other Germanic languages, it's really a Germanic language thing for the most part to use this word Easter instead of Passover for the celebration of what we would call Easter. So I'll go back and forth. I will probably call it Easter for our sakes here because most people will be most familiar with that.